Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us each and every week. We'd also like to take this opportunity to ask that you support GeekLegacy.com by clicking on any of our Amazon links before you go shopping. By doing so, we will receive a small credit for your purchase, and every little bit helps in keeping the legacy alive. This way, we may continue to bring you the latest and greatest in geek news and reviews. Thank you!
Welcome back to another episode of our Geek Legacy Podcast. As usual, I am joined by Justin, Dave, Amanda, and Randy, and we are here to discuss all things geek.
Yeah!
Woo!
Pedal to the metal! Nice.
Yeah.
About that.
We're just all excited and having a great day.
Yeah.
Didn't everyone have an amazing day?
It was pretty okay.
Fantastic.
Your day is what you make of it, so if it wasn't a great day, it's your fault.
Well, I went to work, so that happened.
A lot of people don't have jobs. You're lucky.
But I did. Well, a lot of people can have my job. But I did find out that Star Trek Into the Darkness is available for pre-order with an awesome replica of a Starfleet phaser.
Yeah, it's
for $79.99, which you can order on our website. Thank you.
Yeah. You can,
well, you can order on Amazon as long as.
Well, that's true. But just click on it through our website.
Please.
Please.
Yay.
And then buy a Batleth, too. Those are cool.
Yeah.
I knew a guy had a Batleth once.
That was something I was actually kind of happy to see, too, in the new Star Trek movie. There was an actual iteration of a Batleth. It was kind of different than the one that that I'm familiar with seeing from, like, Next Generation. Had a slightly different shape. Did you guys catch that in the movie?
Yeah, that was cool.
What did you think? Well, just kind of diving right into that aspect. What did you guys think of the new Klingon design?
I like the makeup. It.
Yeah, I mean, it still had the essential cranial ridges. They were just kind of more flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think it looked as, like, it looked more realistic to me rather than so crazily large.
Yeah, it looked almost like scaly kind of that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like an armadillo kind of like scaly kind of like plate armor built into your skin kind of.
Well, it is a skin disease.
Well.
You find that on Enterprise. It was skin.
Yeah, disease. Enterprise.
It's a mutation. It slowly gets worse.
Don't Klingons look different? Like, every new, like, show?
Every, like, generation of Klingon, they just go through drastic evolution.
Yeah.
No, because in, the three that kind of ran concurrently, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, they all looked pretty much the same.
Probably because Worf was kind of a tying character.
Yeah.
As far as Enterprise and the original Star Trek, and then even the Star Trek films. Like the original crew, they look different.
Yeah. Well, they're gradually getting worse.
If you look at...
Oh,
I was just going to say, if you look at the Klingons in Star Trek The Motion Picture, the cranial ridges is just like one... It's kind of like smooth. It's almost like... Imagine like a mohawk of just like flesh-covered bone instead of hair, kind of, instead of actual ridges. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm describing it properly, but instead of being ridges that kind of span out the entire width of the head, it was just kind of like a stripe down the center, and there were like little itty-bitty kind of ridges.
Right.
Those were the punk rocker Klingons?
Right.
They're from like Planet Sid Vicious or something? the Klingon Sex Pistols. That's why they died at the very beginning. But you guys all saw Star Trek. You guys all liked it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very much indeed.
It was awesome.
Real quick, where would you guys put it in the pantheon of other Star Trek movies? Justin?
Oh, I don't know. I suck at that stuff.
Top three? Top five?
Yeah, top three, for sure.
All right, Randy?
I would definitely say, top two. And it might even be my number one. I'm going to have to see it again and like digest it. But top two.
What's your other one of the top two?
The film that it kind of mirrors in a bizarre way, and Wrath of Khan, of course.
Nice. All right. Amanda, where would you put it?
I kind of agree with Randy. I think I need a little bit more time to, like, rewatch it. but yeah, it's pretty high up there. I'd say top like three? Top three. Yeah.
Right. For sure. What about you, Jess?
Yeah, I definitely put it in my top three. I like what they're doing with these.
Just based on the presence of Benedict Cumberbatch alone.
Right, exactly.
Ugh, I love him. He's the best.
Yeah.
The best at what?
Everything.
Awesome. At being a con.
Spoilers.
They've had their time.
It's true, I agree. And honestly, I wasn't that surprised. I was more so happy than surprised.
I wasn't surprised at all. I figured. They've been denying it so vehemently. It had to be.
Because while we're all looking in the left hand trying to figure out who Cumberbatch was going to be, when no one was looking on the right hand with all the other spoilers they could have found out. So kudos to Mr. Abrams.
Yeah. I think he should have been like, now is Khan your first name or your last name?
Yeah. I need it for the record.
Khan Harrison?
We need to embroider your jumpsuit.
Yeah.
You're going to jail, man. You killed people.
Yeah, he was cool. That whole thing last week when you were talking about Peter Weller being the girl's father, and then you're dropping names like Marcus, I had no idea what you were saying.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But then, after playing it back, I eventually figured out that you were saying that in the movie, his daughter was the blonde chick. And I was laughing when she came on board the shuttle.
Gotcha.
And identified herself.
When I use such good descriptive terms as RoboCop and the blonde girl to describe her Star Trek character.
Oh my god, I was wondering why he was so familiar.
Yes.
Maybe you're almost seeing his mouth.
Yeah. He needed his hand blown off and 6,000 bullet holes in his body.
Well, wasn't he also in Dexter recently, too?
Yeah,
he was in
Quinn's PI.
Yeah. He's good at playing kind of a badass villain type. Just the voice and just that face.
He's got a face.
Yes, he does. And in RoboCop, that's all he's got.
He's just got a mouth.
That's all you need.
I wasn't going to be the one to say it.
Zing!
I set him up, you knock him down.
What else you got?
Well, did you see any other movies?
I did. I saw Fast and Furious 6 today.
How was that?
It was not as good as Star Trek by any stretch of the imagination. Take everything that's good about Star Trek, like space. No space in Fast and the Furious 6.
So next... Well, I'm sure there's plenty of space.
Molecularly, yes.
Between Paul Walker's ears.
What didn't you like about it, Dave?
Vast.
I'm a big fan of the series. I really like the last two, Fast and Furious and Fast Five. And I understand where they're going. They're trying to make this larger story about, you know, the entire series and tying everything together. But, you know, you can tell from the trailers they're really pushing the whole family dynamic with, you know, Letty, Michelle Rodriguez being brought back. And it was just when it's Vin Diesel and The Rock and Tyrese and Paul Walker and all these like muscle heads who can't really act but are great at great in the action movies, but when they give them these monologues about how important family is and like, you know, how important it is, you know, you don't give up on family even when they give up on yourself. You know, when I was a boy, my dad, he went off to get a pack of smokes and never came back, and he left a hole in my heart and I didn't know how to fill it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Just drive cars and shoot people. And like the movie ends and there's 20 minutes left and there's a new ending and everything you think you know about all these characters. Well, I shouldn't say all these characters. A couple of the characters change their stripes significantly from what we have last seen of them. And it's just kind of weird. Like it's this weird feeling like the movie is just shy of 2 hours. It's a 1 hour and 58 minutes. And at the 1 hour, 40 minute mark, bad guy's caught, evil is punished, everything is great, and then all of a sudden, new ending. And it was, I don't know, just kind of weird. There is a scene after the credits that you want to stick around for that definitely sets up the next film. where they are definitely trying to tie everything together from previous films. So,
how many of these movies are there going to be? I thought there was only going to be six, like two trilogies.
Well, there's 100. Vin Diesel said there was probably only going to be seven, and then they're going to give Hobbs his own movie, which is The Rock's character. But Vin Diesel recently said that he wanted Fast and the Furious 8 to take place in Egypt, which most people are assuming was a joke, but you never know. But six and seven tie heavily together. And then, you know, obviously 4, 5, and 6 take place before 3. Because bad things happen in Tokyo Drift to Han Solo. But, yeah, no, it was all right. I would say it's C+. But wow. I liked Fast 5, so maybe I was just expecting too much of a movie about racing cars and shooting people.
You are a cold-hearted cynic.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm known for. All those bad grades I give. All those C's and D's.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you talking about? I gave Batman. I even gave Dark Knight Rises a B-. I was being nice. But that's all I got. What do you got? What do one of you have? Who's got something? Rapid fire. Lightning round.
The Office finale was cool.
Oh, yeah?
I liked it.
Tell me all about it.
It ended the show.
That is unique.
Really?
It's good. It's cool. It's cool.
I got a talking cat, so it's okay.
You do. No, I like The Office a lot. I like Jim and Dwight getting along. I liked the. Did you see the like retrospective before the finale where they had all the, like the Jim's favorite pranks?
No.
Oh. It was kind of sad. Actually, it was like an hour long retrospective, and it was all about Jim, Dwight, and Michael Scott. It's like no one else existed. And so they had all, like, Jim's pranks, like the time where we pretended to be Dwight. And he's like, bears eat beets.
Oh, yeah.
Fact. Bears beat Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Wait, no. And Dwight's getting all pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
He's all, Michael!
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
And the one where he puts his desk in the bathroom, and the one where he, like, gift wraps his desk, and he's like, how long did this take you? He sits on it. It's not his desk. Well, what else did you watch? Anything else? Anybody watch anything fun?
There was, well, speaking of finales, the finale of the latest season of Doctor Who was this past weekend.
I said fun.
And I've been pretty vocal on the site about my disappointment this season. Especially since I was hoping that Clara's presence would revive, you know, some of the mustier aspects of the show, and she didn't really. I mean, a little bit, but not quite enough. But I kind of feel like the season finale made up for all of that. It was mysterious, melancholy, lots of tear-jerky moments. And it left us with a huge cliffhanger for the 50th anniversary special in November.
It ended, and I think my head almost exploded.
And I was like,
because
what?
I just was like, no, it can't end.
What's
right now.
Going on? What is this? Yeah.
Are we the only two that watched it?
I think so.
I watched it, too.
Are you picking up what Amanda's putting down?
It doesn't sound
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you guys did. I'm kind of over Clara, and I'm ready for her to be gone.
No, quit watching it again.
And I'm the jerk off.
And I don't know. Now we're just following her into the rabbit hole, so to speak, again. And it explains a lot of things, and it goes into why she is the impossible girl and everything. What I really liked about the episode was I like the gigantic TARDIS tomb, essentially, was super, super cool.
Spoiler alert.
Evan, anybody who wants to see it will have by now.
I was going to say, I don't think any Doctor Who fans have not seen it yet.
I haven't.
Right.
Okay, like hardcore fans.
But right. I don't care if anybody dies.
I'm a couple episodes behind. Like 74?
Yeah. I was gonna say you're about, you know, 5.5 seasons behind. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. I just, it was cool. There's some neat aspects to it. I like the tease at the end. The whole name of the episode was a gigantic tease.
Oh, yeah.
was total BS.
But yeah. I figured there's no way we're ever going to learn the name of the doctor.
Well, even if we did learn what his name was, I don't think it would really pay off.
And how many times are they going to keep bringing back River Song? I mean,
I don't understand her timeline at all.
This is going to be the last time. No, her timeline is extremely confusing because her timeline actually goes in reverse of the doctor's. So when we first see River Song in the series in general is actually the last time she meets the doctor.
Is that the library or whatever?
Yeah, it's the first time for him, but the last time for her. So their timeline is like...
She's got the Benjamin Button.
That means this can't be the last time then, because we still have to get to where she meets him. Wait, no.
We never did.
Yeah, we did. See, I talk about it, and then I can get confused, and...
We've already seen the beginning of her timeline, and we've seen the end of her timeline. It's like, and I saw her, and I'm like, didn't we already milk this cow? God damn it. Why is she back?
Because I really like her.
I love her.
She's a cool character. I dig the character, but I'm frustrated that she's back because I think we already had our big emotional goodbye for her, didn't we?
I think this really was like her goodbye. I don't think she's going to be back.
It was pretty final. Like it was pretty.
It did feel final this time.
I was very sad. I'm not gonna lie. I had some tears.
Because the last time we saw her, I think that they had her because it was Amy and Rory's last episode.
Right.
So she had to be able to say goodbye to them.
Even though she didn't, because Rory just kind of went poof.
Well, she said goodbye to Amy.
That's true.
But then that also didn't give room to give her a proper farewell, even though I guess she kind of got one in her first episode, in her first couple episodes. But,
I was just going to say, I guess I felt that way because I just watched the episode recently where she was introduced. So I guess maybe since I'm kind of watching it in a bizarre order right now, that's kind of why I'm over it or why I thought it was done. But yeah.
Now so, I think it's done.
She says that when she died, he preserved her in like kind of a memory bank.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Was that... Like, when did he do that? Like, with, like, David Tennant version of him?
Yeah, that was in David Tennant's season.
Okay. Because I was confused by that. Because I was like, I don't remember her dying with Matt Smith. Oh, okay. But yeah. I also don't understand her regeneration process. It's like, she did regenerate in the Hitler episode, correct?
Yeah.
But then she just doesn't anymore. So, like, when she died in the David Tennant
they kind of also explained it in the Hitler episode, like...
Because she's only, like, a little mind... She only has a little bit of time lord power.
Yeah, like, she ran out of energy, and then the doctor gave her some of his for the last time. And then, like, the next time she died would be it.
That's lame.
Yeah.
But I love her, so I was really happy to see her back.
Ugh, it was so good. I love it. And I'm a sucker for, like, romantic stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Boring.
Time-crossed lovers.
But now we should move on to Game of Thrones so Dave can be unmuted.
Game of Thrones! We're all caught up, right?
Yes, we are. I think. Wait, are we the only two
guys? Is this the girl now?
I am caught up.
I am caught up.
I am caught up as well.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on this last two episodes.
No, not really. Thankfully, we didn't see Theon this episode, so.
Oh, God.
Or Bran. Or Catelyn.
A little sad not to see any of Jaime and Brienne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're traveling right now. Nothing happens until they get to King's Landing.
That's true.
Yeah. I think they're done for the season.
Oh, yeah. They probably are, huh?
How many more episodes are left? We're on 8. That was 8, right? Okay.
Just 2 more.
Oh, wow. My God. My God. The next episode is going to be insane.
Hopefully. The episode after that will be insane.
God, they better end with a bang.
They will, because typically the season ends and the book finishes, you know? Like, it finishes that story for the book. But this one, since I cut it in half, typically episode 9 is the oh my god episode, and episode 10 is the unwind. It'll be different this time around, I imagine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which there's no reason that they needed to do two seasons for this episode, this book, oh, other than to stretch it out longer. Because Mr. Martin is never going to finish his books.
Yeah, I guess they could have crammed the whole thing into 10 episodes if they really... Well, actually, I don't know about that either, because it also has felt... Because there's so many new characters, it's felt disjointed. And I know you feel like there's nothing happening, but even when it seems like there's nothing happening, things are happening.
Just things don't, like, build up like for the big stuff.
I mean, a lot of the events are... like revolve around conversations and stuff that kind of happens behind the scenes.
I like when Cersei put Marjorie in her place when she's like, we're going to be sisters. And then she tells the whole long story about the Rain family. And then she's all like, if you ever call me sister again, I'll let someone strangle you in your sleep.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was like, yeah, you tell that little girl. I like that Cersei still has power.
At least she thinks she does.
I don't think she does. I think she thinks she does.
She's going to have power for a little... She's going to be no power for a little bit longer, and then she's going to get power again, I bet. She's going to, like, flip the script.
Unlimited power!
She's going to go all Palpatine on.
Yeah. Oh, man.
She's like naked.
Yeah, there's a lot of action still to happen in this story. For at least the Storm of Swords, whatever the heck that book's called.
Right, which is stupid, which makes it all the more stupid that they brought Theon back early, that they had skipped over a lot of the Bran stuff, but now they're reintroducing a lot of the Bran stuff. It just seems to muddy the water from the stories that we care about. You know, we're getting gypped out of what's happening, you know, at the wall. You know, we're seeing a little bit here and there, but, you know, that's...
I think it'll be more... I think the second half... we'll have a lot more interaction with Jon Snow.
I hope that the second half of the third season, they incorporate all of Feast for Crows.
I don't even think they're going to touch it.
You don't think so? You don't think they're going to have a lot of the King's Landing stuff?
No, because there's still so much to do. Because there's plenty of King's Landing stuff after the Twins. There's tons of King's Landing stuff.
There's two things.
Three. I don't know, but I can't say or type.
Right, no, I know. I'm trying to think what the third one is.
And then there's the whole... there's the wall. And that's plenty of ammo. Not to mention...
that's right. I forgot the wall.
There's
the
still...
confrontation.
There's still Littlefinger, and there's still... the Hound and Arya. Plenty of action. Not to mention Jaime.
Yeah, for this season, she's pretty much done.
She's done, but I'm talking about next season. Like,
I'm saying
there's still plenty of stuff to happen.
I thought you were talking about with the Hound and
No. I'm sorry. I was under the impression that we were talking about season 4, the second half to book 3. I'm saying that is going to consist heavily of Jon Snow and wall action. There's plenty to still happen at King's Landing, and there's still plenty that happens Arya and the Mountain. So that there's 10 episodes with just those three things.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daenerys has to sit and do nothing.
Not to mention Daenerys.
Take a bath in the world's skinniest bathtub.
Anybody else watch or play anything fun this week?
I played lots of board games.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
I played Settlers of Catan, I played Lost Cities, I played Raw, I played, what else did I play? Seven Wonders, I had a lot of fun.
I played Settlers of Catan, and this goddamn bandit was taking all my wheat for like 2 hours.
There's a Star Trek version now, too.
Of Settlers?
Of Settlers of Catan, yeah. Saw it at Target the other day. I didn't buy it, though. It was right underneath Munchkin. I almost bought Munchkin because I hadn't played that in forever. It's a fun card game.
Oh, I should have played that this weekend.
Yeah, should have. Well, it does.
I played Tetris.
You don't like what?
I said I played Tetris.
That's good. That's good too.
It's always a good choice.
Good and infuriating.
So, I just need a straight piece. Give me a straight piece.
Whiled away many an afternoon as a child playing Tetris.
What about you, Justin? What'd you do? Did you play anything? Watch anything? Beat anything?
Oh, you know what I did do? I finished Arrow. Season 1 is officially over. And it's so good. I know none of you watch it, but it's...
I watch it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm all caught up.
It's good, right?
It doesn't suck.
Yeah, it's
entirely.
Oh, man.
Ringing endorsement.
I think it's a lot of fun.
I think I put that on a box.
Yeah, it doesn't
suck.
It's got Captain Jack in it, so that's always fun.
Yeah.
It does?
For us, yes, it does. I don't want to spoil it, but he's a villain.
Ooh.
Now, is Captain Jack... Now...
Oh, right, I saw a picture of him.
Is he... Yeah. Have him and the Doctor been intimate?
I think they imply, maybe?
Yeah. Tennant's Doctor, I'm sure.
I remember. Yeah, the Tennant's Doctor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Solves that.
Oh, and Supernatural ended. That was an interesting finale.
You're just a big CW whore now.
I know.
Ended?
No, season 8 ended.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched any of this season.
It's pretty good.
I have never watched it, ever.
It's pretty good. Really?
Nope.
I used to really like it, and then the last couple seasons, it was just... I don't know.
It's the whole angel
thing annoyed me after a while.
It's pretty good.
I will take your word for it.
But yes, it ended up like with Supernatural. They save the world all the time, and then in this episode, they had a chance to save the world, but one of them was going to die, and the Winchester boys are no stranger to death. They've died a bunch of times, but come back. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, this time, they just said.
They were like, let the world die.
Not necessarily die, but just not save it. It's not like the final countdown kind of thing. It's more if they have an opportunity to close hell forever.
Like so, Buffy?
Yeah, exactly. So they could close hell forever and then no more demons. It's not that demons are about to destroy the world. It's just...
preventative, like, rid it from evil
kind of thing. Yeah, it's a really good show. I mean, the first 7 seasons are all on Netflix, so Randy, I know you like to binge watch.
Yeah,
you could. I think you'd get a kick out of it, and by the time you're done, season 8 will probably be on Netflix too.
Speaking of binge watching, I just finished season 4 of Fringe, so I'm all caught up as far as Netflix is concerned. Ooh. I just need to watch the last season.
Did you like it?
I've had it on in the background while I've been working, so I've only been half watching or maybe even quarter watching, but I'm enjoying it.
That's cool. So there's so many like Easter eggs in that show, and there's a lot of throwbacks to previous episodes. So the more you pay attention, the bigger the payoff, I think.
Right.
I mean, it's written in a way to where you don't have to watch every episode, but it's rewarding for those that do.
Season 4 ending is where it's at. Everyone ends a happy place. They mucked it up.
Speaking of finales, and I just read this a couple days ago. I don't know how much truth is behind it, but I had heard that because of all this popularity with having original content on Netflix and Amazon and stuff, that they're possibly thinking of doing an 8th season of Buffy. But it would be, like, either on Amazon or Netflix. Now, I don't know how much of this is actually, like, in the works or not.
Well, the comic book was the 8th season.
Yeah, but I don't know if they mean, like, they would turn that into a TV show or if they would just do a completely, like, alternate 8th season. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
I think they should leave it alone.
I agree.
It was on too long already.
Oh, my God. Are you nuts? Amanda.
What?
Oh, I thought she was talking to me.
Go ahead and find my mute button again real quick.
I can't even get into it right now.
Wait, well, what's everybody's feelings on Buffy?
I love Buffy. I think she is amazing.
I liked it too, but it was on for too long. It should have ended when freaking UPN gave it up or whatever. Wait, what? Wait, no. It was on WDB and then went to UPN.
Should've... UPN don't even exist anymore.
You're right.
Buffy was the only thing that kept it alive.
Possibly.
So good.
I think Dawn shouldn't have existed, but that's really my only...
Technically.
Yeah, well. She shouldn't have first existed and then whatever. I don't know. Yeah, that was my only issue.
When she got all upset and would, like, scream, I hated that, too.
I was like, I don't care about your prissy teenage problems. Now, I mean, granted, Buffy was a teenager when the show started, but I don't feel like she was that obnoxious.
Well, she wasn't. She blossomed into womanhood at a young age. I can't get into the specifics right now because I'm a boy and I had to leave the classroom during that part.
Your mom wouldn't sign the permission slip?
Well, no, it was in the early parts when girls
were
becoming a woman. I got the sex ed part. I just didn't get the... I don't even know what happens. It's all a mystery. Well, the problem with Buffy is it's really dated.
Yeah.
Technology really didn't even exist in 1997. There was nothing going for anybody. There was no phones. At least teenagers didn't have phones.
Were no phones.
They didn't have cars. Cars weren't invented yet in the 90s. So they walked everywhere.
True.
It's kind of rough.
Good old days.
Mm-hmm. The bronze. Yeah, it's a cool, magical place where high schoolers can hang out and listen to live music.
Does somebody have a list for us?
Yes, you got a list?
It's top 10 genre-changing sci-fi films.
Ooh, sounds promising.
Starship Troopers.
Ice Pirates.
Deep Blue Sea.
Iron Sky.
None of those movies are on the
Airplane
list.
Airplane 2.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Oh, wait, fantasy.
Negative.
Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
I haven't seen that movie in years.
Titan A.E.
Hey, Titan A.E. is a great film.
So dumb.
Drew Barrymore and Matt Damon voice characters.
Oh my god, I hated that movie.
Hate's a strong word.
No, I didn't like it.
It's a fine, upstanding film.
Down all the way.
Stupid. It's a giant game of cat and mouse in space.
Sounds pretty interesting to me.
Cats and mice do not belong in space, Dave.
True.
There's a cat in Alien.
Oh, yeah. You know what I don't like about that? Is she calls that cat naughty names. She's like, oh, you stupid cat. And it's like, you know what? You don't even deserve to have that kitty cat.
what's the naughty name?
Well, she says, like, she calls it like an idiot or dumb cat or something like that. And that really bothered me.
I was thinking like.
I'm thinking of the other C word.
No. I didn't mean to say naughty. I meant that she just.
She's mean. Bad to things the cat. To
her cat. Yeah.
She was upset at her kitty cat. So how's this list go?
All right. So number 10 is Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Fantastic. Wait,
and what is this list?
CGI.
What did it do? It changed?
It changed the genre.
Oh.
Birth of CGI.
I thought The Abyss was the birth of CGI.
Yeah, it was crummy.
This is the birth of good CGI, I guess. Oh. Still an awesome movie, so.
But it had the one guy in it. The paperboy. The 30-year-old paperboy.
What?
Chris Elliott is in The Abyss.
He works on the ship. And he's like the guy in charge of like firing the torpedo.
Sorry. Terminator 2.
Judgment Day 4, it's CGI. Number 9 is Frankenstein, the Boris Karloff version. In 1931, and it's says in the description that it's primarily genre-changing because it gave birth to the idea of, like, genetics and things like that, and people messing with essentially playing God, which is a lot in sci-fi movies anymore.
I'd buy it.
I just think that that's weak. I think that's a cop-out.
Well, it's number 9.
It should be original material.
Okay, well, number 8 is 12 Monkeys.
Oh, that's Dave's favorite, Terry Gilliam. Buddy.
Wait, I want to hear Dave's.
No, there's like 4 podcasts of me railing on Terry Gilliam.
Well, I was not present for those.
I just don't like Terry Gilliam. 12 Monkeys is not a terrible movie. I have nothing against 12 Monkeys. I have a problem with like every one of his other films. 12 Monkeys. And every time I bring up Terry Gilliam and I'm like how I hate him and he sucks, everyone's got to bring up 12 Monkeys. Yes, 12 Monkeys was a good movie. That doesn't mean he's
That doesn't mean everything else he's ever made is good.
Yes. Brazil, Grimm, or Brothers Grimm. What's number 7 on this list?
Number 7 is Star Wars Episode 4.
Never heard of it.
New Hope. You never know it.
My garage says otherwise.
Your garage talks?
It's kind of creepy, it does. Got like it's like Monster House that cartoon, and it talks to me and it like eats trick or treaters.
I was thinking of If These Walls Could Talk.
I don't like scary movies, Justin.
I think it's an abortion movie.
You know I don't like those scary
movies. It's like a horror film.
Are you talking about the HBO movie? I went the other way.
Yeah, I know. You went kid route. I went kill the kid route.
You did. You went dark.
Anyway, what's number?
Star Wars, great film.
Yes, Star Wars.
Film changed not only science fiction but movies in general.
Yes, it did.
And number 6 is Alien, one of my all-time favorite movies.
With no S?
Nope, with no S. The first one.
False. Aliens. False. Is the best.
I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying that Alien is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Tom Skerritt's not in Aliens, Dave, so it's not as cool.
Oh, yeah?
And he was in Space Camp.
Yes. I'll raise you. Bill Paxton is not in Alien.
Oh, that's true. And neither is Paul Reiser.
Yeah, Paul Reiser is not in Alien either. He's a bad dude.
Yeah, but that's to Alien's credit, though.
Charles S. Dutton is not an Alien or Aliens, but he is an Alien 3.
Yes, he is.
Ponder that. He was Rock.
Rock. Garbage man with class.
That's right.
They filmed in front of a live studio audience.
It's the sitcoms used to have that. They always have that at the beginning. Rock is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
I think Cosby was at the end.
Used to mean something.
No, not no more. What's next? What's number 5?
Number 5 is E.T.
Fantastic film.
Yes, I still cry.
Yeah.
I get so sad. White. Oh, it's painful.
He's okay. Got the ashy skin. You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
But it ends well.
It does. Romance. It does. It does end well. But it's a heartbreaker. Love my car.
That was by far the best impression I've ever heard, Justin.
That was my Steinbrenner impersonating Pat Benatar.
You go on the road with that.
Love my car, soul shaker, heartbreaker. Good stuff.
So number 4 is Inception. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't really agree with that.
It's got the twist.
I mean, I like Inception, but...
No, it's a good movie, but I don't think it redefined the genre.
No, because, in the explanation, it says before when they mentioned 12 Monkeys, like, doing the whole nonlinear narrative thing, they're saying, I guess, this just takes it a step further. I don't really see how that changes it.
Yeah, me either.
It just makes it... Okay, anyway, number 3 is The Matrix.
Film. Took the Michael Bay style of filmmaking to science fiction
and put it in slow motion.
Yeah, bullet cam.
Now that shit happens too often, though.
Yeah,
it's not as, like in the early 2000s. It was even worse. Like I remember there was like an LA Times commercial that that showed it.
With that, wait, are we talking about the like the 180 or the 360?
Yeah, the bullet cam.
Yeah, okay. There's that, and then anything that slow motion drives me nuts now. Like the last Resident Evil movie, it's really, if you were to watch it in real time, it'd be over in 4 minutes, but the entire movie's slowed down, so it's 90 minutes. It's
not. Your buddy Zack Snyder does that a lot, too.
You know you're going to walk away saying that Man of Steel is like the best movie ever.
I know.
Myself up. So you're just giving me ammunition, Dave.
I just want you to have hours of podcast material of me saying what a no-talent hack Zack Snyder is, so that all of a sudden I'm going to come out of Man of Steel and I'm going to be like, so, Man of Steel, pretty good.
Yeah. You're going to eat them words, eh?
Doesn't mean that Watchmen and...
Motherfucker, dude, Watchmen is awesome.
Yeah, I like Watchmen. I didn't...
It's so good. You're crazy. I don't even want to talk about it, but the movie is awesome and it's all there is to it. You have big blue penis on your screen. The ending is better.
Justin prefers that over pregnant women.
I do.
You have a big blue penis over women in general.
I do. Yeah. You know it. It's blue. I'm sorry.
Sucker Punch.
What about Sucker Glow Stick?
Okay, Sucker Punch is bad.
It has good music, though.
Yeah, but it's still bad.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm not arguing. 300 is awesome.
Yes,
and so is The Watchmen.
No. Incorrect. You are incorrect, Justin. If I had a buzzer sound, I would play it.
I agree, Jeff. Oh, man. Excellent, excellent movies.
I think Justin is right, and you are wrong, Dave.
You think Watchmen is good?
Yes.
Oh,
it's incredible.
I feel like Dark Helmet here. I'm surrounded by assholes. Right, that's Spaceballs quote number 2 for the show.
Yeah. We started earlier. It was with the hairdryer before the show even started.
Oh, that's right. We just did the hat trick.
What's this?
Can't do any more now. We hit the rule 3.
Yeah.
Speaking of number 3, what's number 2?
Number 2 is Blade Runner.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is a very good movie. It doesn't specify which version, so...
They all suck.
I'm sorry,
I kid. I like the voiceover that got taken out.
The noir-y one?
Yeah.
Well, the more noir-y one?
I thought that one's cool, but whatever. What do I know?
I just like the movie in general, but...
Did you read the book?
I have not.
It's very different.
I know. I need to read it. It's on my list of 1,000 books I need to read. Kudos for Ridley Scott being on this list twice.
Our buddy Kaibot, he really likes Blade Runner.
So is Jerd.
Uh-oh.
The whole podcast, and Jerd was raving about Blade Runner while Justin was hating on it. And I was right in the fence.
I don't even remember that.
Remember that when he said he hated E.T. and we got all mad at him?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how can you hate E.T.?
Nobody hates E.T.
Exactly. How can you hate E.T.?
It's like hating Back to the Future. You can't do it. It can't be done.
Impossible.
Michael Bay makes the impossible possible.
He does. He has 10 films in the top AFI top 5 films of all time.
It's impressive.
The new Chuck Norris.
He also has a human-sized rat in a cage in his living room.
That does tricks for cheese.
That was a little creepy.
I don't know. He's a complicated man.
So, hey, like what's Shaft. Number one?
So let's get this fight over with. What's number one?
Number one is Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Well, you lost David as soon as you said Kubrick.
That's true. I can't... You don't like any of his movies?
He likes Eyes Wide Shut when Nicole Kidman's peeing in front of Tom Cruise.
You like Eyes Wide... That's the one you like?
No. I like Nicole Kidman getting naked, but no. I don't like Eyes Wide Shut.
I do.
I like half of Full Metal Jacket, half of Clockwork Orange, and the entirety of Doctor Strangelove.
What about The Shining?
I like The Shining. I like The Shining. I wouldn't say I love it like I love, like, Doctor Strangelove or the first half of the other two films, but other than that, Cooper can go.
He'll see the big boar. I like that movie.
2001: A Space Odyssey. There's like 9 good minutes in that. I think it's like 17 hours long.
You just don't like it because your name is Dave, and
I'm probably just too stupid to get
and
it.
And people just walk up to you and go, "I can't do that, Dave."
Yeah, that's my favorite argument when you say you don't like something that someone likes. It's always because you just don't get it. It's like, no, I get it. I just don't like it. Like Christopher Guest movies. Like I like half of them. But heaven forbid I tell someone I don't like The Mighty Wind. I'm like, oh, no. You just don't get what Christopher Guest was trying to do. No, I get it. I like his other films. I like, you know, Best in Show, New Wing for Guffman, and, you know, maybe For Your Consideration a little bit. I just don't like Mighty Wind.
That looks like a fast dog.
What do you guys think of 2001?
I like it. I don't think it's the best.
Boring.
Am I the only one that likes it?
Honestly. Randy likes it. Or Randy appreciates it, at least.
I appreciate it. I guess that's a better word. I like the second half of it.
I remember watching 2010, The Odyssey Continues with Roy Scheider.
I like the book.
Just describing. Arthur C. Clarke, fine man.
You wrote, like all you dummies, I read.
I read a book.
I read too.
I used to read. Now I'm just like TV, movies. It's not my favorite. The Shining is my favorite Kubrick. But
really,
also didn't read that book either.
My favorite.
What one?
Clockwork Orange is always going to be my favorite.
Yeah, that's my second favorite.
I identified with it a lot when I was a teenager.
Did you often go beat up old people on the street?
Was it the Wraith or the Beethoven that you connected with, Randy?
It was actually a combination of both. But no, I was really into classical music. I always have been. So I appreciated the soundtrack that much more. But, you know, in the days before readily accessible internet porn, you took nudity wherever you could find it. So... I'm being 100% serious with you here.
I know you are.
I'm giving you an adolescent male point of view from the mid 90s. Okay.
Yeah, you girls are too young for this. You guys grew up with internet porn.
Yeah.
No.
Not really.
You are what we call tech natives, whereas us in our 30s are tech transplants. It's a real term. Look it up.
Kudos, Randy, for knowing those terms.
So what are the people that are born now called?
Technology natives.
So we
completely
were
retarded
tech-native.
Is what they're called now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They're called
David, for your kids. Jesus Christ. I don't I'm
sure Dave's kids are fantastic.
They're gonna nosedive this planet.
I think we're doing a pretty good job without their help.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I recycle. If that helps.
I don't procreate. That's my duty for mankind.
Not probably get a medal for that.
I deserve one, damn it.
It'd be like the end of episode 4, you'd be Chewy without a medal.
Aww. Yeah, what's up with that?
You got one 20 years later from the MTV Movie Awards. Does that count?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like getting a medal after you're dead. Does it matter? You're dead.
Like all those posthumous awards at the Oscars.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Let's celebrate this person who did all this work that we didn't care about when they were alive.
Exactly. It's like, yeah,
and now
sure,
we care about it.
Family, but it's an indignity to the dude that's dead and never got a shred of respect his entire career.
I just assume they dug him up and gave him the Oscar. And close the lid.
Just throw it in.
Yeah, just pry it open.
Congratulations, body, Heath Ledger, here's your Oscar.
How sad.
Too soon? Yeah.
All right, well, they have an honorable mention on this list, and it's Avatar, which I don't like. So.
Meh.
I like Avatar.
I like Avatar, and it's the reason you have to pay $3 more to see movies now. That's its enduring legacy. It brought it crammed 3D down our throat.
Correct.
But some movies like Avatar benefit from 3D, whereas others are just stupid.
But they also had the cool camera where they were able to see like the rendering kind of already done.
Right.
They shoot it. That's some pioneer shit right there.
Oh, that is pretty cool. And how.
That's impressive. Wait, did you know that James Cameron's brother sells electronic cigarettes?
I was just looking at pictures from that today.
And he won't sign our press release unless we send it to his lawyer.
Yeah, F that guy, man.
I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get that right over there, Jim Cameron.
So, Dave, you don't like Terry Gilliam. I can accept that. But do you not like him as a director or as a writer? Because as a writer, Monty Python.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. David doesn't appreciate the Monty Python either.
Oh my God!
So he holds that as a strike against Terry.
No, don't put words in my mouth, Rain. I appreciate some Monty Python, but I don't think they're the pioneering comedic geniuses that they seem to be getting credit for.
Well, you also don't appreciate, and I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but you don't appreciate British humor. You just don't. And it's not that you don't get it. You just plain don't like it.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment?
I get it. Maybe that's funny in where people use pounds and shilling for money, but I don't care. I use quarters and dollar bills. Sacagawea dollars.
You're so funny, Dave.
Because I don't like Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels and Doctor Who. I'm like anti.
You're not. You are. Oh my gosh!
How did I become the hate monger of this episode?
You're not. You're not. You. You're good. You.
But to answer your question, I have similar beefs with Terry Gilliam that I have with Robert Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Robert Rodriguez. I love most of his films. But it comes to a point to where you can either be good at a lot of things or great at one thing. And Robert Rodriguez writes, shoots, edits, directs, and composes the music for his films. And you can tell that three of those jobs he shouldn't do. He's an amazing director, and he's an amazing writer, but his films would be tighter, they'd be better shot, and they would probably have a better score if he would have someone whose whole purpose in life was to be a cinematographer or was to be an editor, because a lot of his films linger too long on certain shots. A lot of his shots kind of go in and out at times, and mm-hmm. I think that he's an amazing director, an amazing writer, and he should stick to that. And Terry Gilliam is kind of similar to that in that he insists on having his hands in every aspect, which is fine. You know, if he's going to be a producer on his own films, he should respect the property and he should, you know, have, you know, some form of say or at least be kept abreast of the situation. But where I get a problem is where you're striving to be an artist interferes with the final product. And they'll use the excuse that it was the film they wanted to make. But that's just a cop-out for saying that I didn't want to trust other people to do the job better than I could do.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, I can, especially with Rodriguez, and I'm a big fan of his films too, but I definitely see, I have the same problem with Eli Roth, in that I feel like he could be something, but he's just trying to be everything at once, and it does not work out at all. He also thinks he's Quentin Tarantino, so.
Everybody wants to be Tarantino. Even Tarantino wants to be Tarantino. And he is Tarantino. Riddle me that. But I'm sure Terry Gilliam is an amazing person to meet. I just think his films suck.
Well, that about does it for this week's podcast. Thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Please remember to like us on Facebook. Follow us on the Twitter there, at Geek Legacy. Please tune into our other podcasts that we have on the site. There's the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen Janes, and it's all about video games. And we also have the Comic Corner, which is hosted by Tyler and Jeff, and they review comic books currently on their pull list. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews, and that's it. Thanks.